Hello, my name is Leah Furness and I'm a development officer working within the community support team at Community First Yorkshire. Increasingly, a large part of my work involves supporting local groups and charities to think about the changes they can make in their local communities, to raise awareness of climate change, the impact we all have on the environment and how to reduce the amount of energy we use. Today, I am joined by Ray Newton, project manager from the Monk Fryston and Hillam Community Building Sustainability Project near Selby, to find out about how, as a community, they are rising to the challenge of tackling climate change at a local level. Ray, hello, and thank you for agreeing to talk to me today.
Yeah, good afternoon. A pleasure.
Thanks, Ray. So I suppose the first question, what exactly is the project?
Well, the project is effectively a partnership of all our community buildings. That includes our community centre, our church hall, primary school, cricket and football clubs, with the aim of making those buildings carbon neutral. That's what the project is, the primary aim. We have some secondary aims of trying to use these to influence our residents to adopt more environmentally friendly behaviours and then share our learning with other communities and similar villages around the area.
That's great. And that's what we're doing today, sharing the learning. It's fantastic.
Yep.
And what prompted you to action? Why did you start the project?
Well, the project's been in the making, I guess, for quite a number of years. The community association, which is leading the project, started its journey towards carbon neutrality back in 2014 when we redeveloped
Wow.
the community centre. And as we were redeveloping it, we took decisions to make the installation as well as we could, use LED lighting and prepare for underfloor by putting underfloor heating in for the future. We also wanted to cut out dirt traps behind radiators and make best use of the hall and things like that. So that's where we started. The next stage was 2018 when at one of our beer fest planning meetings, one of the young mums in the village who was on the team came along and said, look, can we make this as sustainable as possible, this beer fest? Now, most of us, our intention was to go there, have some fun, drink a lot of beer, make money for the community and for the school where we shared the event. But everybody adopted it unanimously. And these were people from the PTA, the community association, and just members of the village who were interested in doing it. That was the next stage. The stage after that, 2019, the community association formally adopted a policy of all our future developments being sustainable, being as environmentally friendly and sustainable. And the immediate trigger for the project was autumn 2019. Now, if you remember, in this country, it was very, very wet.
Yeah.
But around the world, it seemed the world was on fire. Australia was burning, Sydney was threatened, yeah. California was threatened, and wildfires across all of America. At the same time, Greta Thunberg was speaking at the UN General Assembly. And I think the best expression would be a lukewarm welcome by the world leaders who turned around and said, but you don't understand. Now, at that point, it was like, come on, we've got to do something. We can't change the world, but we can do something to start. And that's where the start point was. I think in private conversations with other community building leaders, we'd sound each other out and talked about the environment, and all of them had said, yeah, we'd like to do something, but Ray, what we haven't got is the time, we haven't got the money, and we haven't got the expertise. So there we are. That was a start point. No money, no time, no expertise, but desire to do something.
I think nearly all the best projects start out like that, right? Because if you did have the time and the money, quite often the problem's not there and you don't feel like you're encouraged to action in the same way, do you? It was like sort of 2019 when all that was happening, and yeah. Certainly everything you're saying there about the weather this year, sort of this summer of 2021, some of the stuff we've seen, the flooding in Europe, those terrible temperatures in Canada as well in the summer, that's not going away, and it's very scary.
No.
So what sort of specific things have you done since in that last sort of 2-year period then? Because I know you've specifically been working on some really targeted things.
Yeah, well, we have done some stuff. What we had to do was to first of all get some help because we didn't know where we were going. Everyone hadn't got any money, so we had to find a way of finding money to do what we were doing. And I suppose also we had to share the project with the village, because we're talking about the village leaders who all wanted to do it. We had to share it and cascade it down, because without the community support, then we wouldn't have got any money.
Could I just ask, Ray, out of curiosity, how sort of big is your village? Do you know numbers?
Yeah, there's about, it's two villages. It's Montfriston and Hillen.
Yeah.
But to the outside, if you come into the area, it looks like one village because they're co-joined.
Right.
So we share the school, et cetera, et cetera. It's about 3,000 people.
Okay. In terms of the things that you have done, is there anything particularly big, something that's taken up quite a bit of time that you really want to go into a bit more detail about or mention?
Yeah. Well, the first thing was actually to bring the people together. That took quite a bit of time. Okay. Whilst we knew each other, we'd drunk lots of beer together, we'd actually never worked together.
Okay.
And like lots of organisations, they are very secretive about the data. And we got a person called Kate Unwin, who's the also known as the Yorkshire Energy Doctor, to join our steering group. And Kate was a catalyst in getting people to share information, share data. So actually, getting started from saying in 2019, yes, this is what we're going to do and agreeing the terms and stuff. It was probably late May, June, before we actually were working together as a group. Big challenges in getting people to share data. It really was a question of, I'll show you mine if you show me yours when it came to pricing. But Kate also coached us into doing energy surveys, which is the foundation of it. She was a catalyst in helping us find grants by the first big one, which was the feasibility study, which again satisfied all the needs. We know nothing. So Kate found us a grant from the Rural Communities Energy Fund, or opportunity to apply, where we were able to get professional advice and have a professional survey done, which satisfied everybody's needs of not knowing what to do. An independent company of surveyors to come around our buildings and do it. So that was one of the big things. And we managed to secure a grant of, £32,000 to do that.
Wow.
We applied in late July and we finally got to know in mid-September. And that kicked off October the 1st and finished end of June this year. So a long period of time, but the first bit stage of it, which was the important stage, was to tell us if we'd got a basket case of an idea or a goer.
And I'm assuming you weren't told that, were you? It's definitely a goer.
Well, we were a goer, but we had a break in the grant 4 weeks, and that was our first stage, and that was important to put it in because it was a point where the grantors, Rural Communities Energy Fund, knew that if we hadn't got a project, they didn't waste any more money on it.
Yeah.
So that was important, particularly from a grant application point of view. So that was one of the big things. And that gave us the format, the structure, and all the information we required to press on.
Yeah, so that feasibility study is really kind of giving you this is where you are now, this is where you should be going, and this is how to do it. Get you really help you with that planning stage of things, which is great.
Absolutely. But we did some, a lot of it ourselves, because all our projects being conducted in the pandemic.
Yeah.
And as a group of partners, because we formed a partnership subcommittee, we've never met collectively through the whole thing. We've been Zooming away and emailing and chatting away, individuals or collectively, but we've formed a cohesive unit to go forward.
That's great. And you did mention Kate Unwin there. Anybody who's listening and is particularly interested in this sort of area, Kate has a fantastic website. If you just Google Yorkshire Energy Doctor, there's lots and lots of information on there. Were there any other organisations or people that particularly helped you when you're putting this together?
Yeah. A key one right at the outset was the Selby ABS. A guy I'd worked with there before, the chief executive, Chris Ailey Norris.
Yep.
I approached him very early to say, Chris, how do we go about doing this? And Chris was ever so enthusiastic and said, right, Ray, this is what I want you to, this is what I advise you to do. What we need to do is get a steering committee together, which we did, which was formed by myself, another person, Kate and Chris. And that was instrumental. Selby ABS were fantastic. Later on, we had to find grants. And Chris was instrumental in pointing us in the right direction to conduct the community survey. All the technology behind it was Survey Monkeys, et cetera, et cetera. And also, he was instrumental in just making the meetings cohesive, because he's a he's a crackers guy. And he was independent, and he was the one who could always, in a difficult moment, find a line to get it to happen.
Yeah, I know exactly what I mean. I've been in a couple of Chris's meetings.
All right, okay.
You do need someone in there like that to kind of keep you all on track, definitely.
So they were important. Another organisation which was important was Hillam Parish Council. Because when we started doing the community survey, we didn't have any funds. We had no money whatsoever. We had to loan cap in hand to Hillam Parish Council, said, look, we need some money just to print off the community survey and do early communication. And they came up and said, yeah, we believe in what you're doing. Here's 100 quid. And that was more than enough to just get the show on the road.
So I'm just going to sum it up, because there's quite a few things we covered then. It says Kate Unwin, the Yorkshire Ranger Doctor. There's your local Association of Voluntary Services with Chris, who's been supporting you as well. Your local parish council, you've also gone to, and they've been supporting you as well. And then obviously the big one, the one that funded the feasibility, is the Royal Community Energy Fund. And I mean, you've touched on this a little bit, in that a lot of this took place during the pandemic. And that also you're a brand new organisation, you had to set that up. Sort of alongside those, was there any really particular challenges in this sort of stage of the project?
Yeah, absolutely. Communications, not just amongst ourselves, but with the residents. Okay. We had, a lot of people were shielding. There was all the isolation. You can only go out and walk for an hour a day. Public buildings were closed, so we couldn't actually call a meeting of all interested parties. It was all had to be done remotely. So that was difficult. And that what we learned there was the best way of communicating was a cascade process, or use existing social media sites.
Right.
So by cascading from the leaders of all the organizations, it went down through their management group, their governance group, and then down into their memberships. So we had this pyramid in each of the five organisations to share the information which we were pushing out with those people directly, because those were the ones who, first of all, would benefit from what we're doing, and then it would spread into the wider community. Where we didn't get to was the users of those buildings. So they're all community buildings. And there's many different people go to the user group sessions, for instance, preschool or Slimming World or yoga or whatever. You know, people coming from all over to use those buildings to do different things. We couldn't get to those people. It was just impossible. So we had real difficulties in just communicating. We had real difficulties in getting to the wider audience. Challenge was talking to people.
I mean, some of that definitely will have been exacerbated by the pandemic, because I know for a lot of community buildings, your yoga groups and your things like that you're mentioning, they just didn't meet for months and months on end. And obviously everybody's focus was elsewhere as well at the moment. I have seen the Monk Fraser Hillam Community Association do have a website, and on there is a link to the Rural Communities Energy Fund RCEF feasibility study. So if anybody is interested in having a look and see what one of them look like, you can visit their webpage and see that on there as well. That was the survey part at the beginning, but I also know you've been doing a bit of work with involving the community about letting them know sort of what the results of this work have been so far and what your next steps are. How have you kept them involved in that part of the process?
Right, okay. So before I answer that question, I'll just say that Kate also pointed us to another grant opportunity, which was to apply for a thermal imaging camera through the postcode lottery. And this coincided with our application to the RCEF. And Kate's view was, look, thermal imaging camera will be great to see where you're losing heat through the building, where you're wasting money. So, and it's also a great community engagement tool. So we applied, but what I noticed was that the grant opportunity was for £20,000 and a thermal imaging camera was about 2.5. And it seemed to me like a lot of work if we only went for 2.5. So we have actually applied for solar panels and a battery, electric storage battery for the community centre. And lo and behold, we were successful. So we got a grant effectively for £19,200 to pay for those things. We did use a thermal imaging camera for the surveying our buildings. We had some remarkable results. But also, the solar panels were installed in the early part of this year, in March, and the battery about May. And that's been terrific results because we've actually been self-sufficient in electricity through the months of, from May, June, July, and August. And we're just starting as the nights are changing to draw on the grid. So that's a brilliant
result. Really impressive.
Thank you, Kate.
And I would imagine something like that thermal imaging camera, did you use it with the school by any chance? Because I could just imagine school kids loving that tool.
Absolutely. So concurrent with what we've been doing, the school has been going for a thing called the Environmental Green Flag Award, which is, a national and international recognition. Rick Waits, the head there, was a real champion of this project. He took it on along with dealing with COVID, and his staff took it on to try and achieve that standard. And they've been terrific. They managed to get the bronze award by Christmas, the silver by Easter, the gold award, I think, came through on the second day before the end of term, summer term, and fantastic. One of the things that they were doing there is that they had a group, I think they were called the Eco Warriors, and the Eco Warriors got to, use, I think play with might be the best term to use, the thermal imaging camera, where they were using it just to identify the different heats in their hand, because it was the summertime and all things like that. But this autumn, they're actually going to use it themselves to survey the school. The kids are going to survey the school. Yeah. And it's a fantastic behavioural change programme. And what we see is a multifaceted benefit, because the kids are taking their learning back into their homes, which is where we want to be. They're also taking it with them on their lifetime into the future to act as responsible environmental citizens. It's just brilliant is what they're doing.
Yeah, it really does sound like you're starting to take different elements of the community along with you.
Yeah.
Now, it's amazing how quick it can snowball, isn't it?
So that's fantastic. And then rolling on from there, one of the residents who worked for a large engineering company, WSP, he saw that they were offering a grant for community projects. And he said, how about us applying? It was about £2,500. And so we did do. That was in November last year. And we were notified, fortunately, we were notified on the 23rd of December, Christmas time, Christmas present, that we'd been successful. And we used that money to create what we call the WSP Eco Wall. Now then.
Cool.
Oh, absolutely. Well, yeah, cool. How do you dream a name up like that? Well, first of all, you start with a bottle of red wine. The purpose of the scheme was to re-insulate an external wall, which we knew had got poor insulation. And we used the thermal imaging camera to do before and after shots.
Oh, great.
And it's demonstrated. There it is. So that's where we got to. All those things are in our project booklet, which we issued in late June, and captured all those things, which we delivered to every household. And in between that time, we've been doing project updates to people who are interested by email. I think we've issued about 5 or 6 so far. There's another one due, just to keep people posted of what we're doing.
That's great. So you are keeping people up to date with the changes. And I'm just loving how those different elements are coming together. Funders do really love to have something specific that they can kind of, so many of them love that, where they can really show, oh, we funded this. So they've got that wall insulation. And when we talk to groups about applying for funding, evidence in the need, and then being able to show the impact, the difference it's made, you're definitely doing it with the camera in a slightly more unusual way than what we normally see with evidence in need. But you've got the image there of what this wall was doing before. We've used your funds, and this is what it's doing after. Yep. And that's the impact it's making. So that's great.
Yeah, and what we want to do, Leah, is actually offer that camera availability to residents to be able to do their own homes. Information is everything. But you know, the residents will then have to choose, or could choose, to either do something or nothing. The lovely story that I have is one of the guys who was on the project team. He took the thermal imaging camera to survey one of the buildings, and then he took it home. And he took it home into his back garden and surveyed the back of his house where there was an extension. And he said, oh, Ray, he said, you could see the joining the extension from one side of one building to the other, where the extension was, not as well insulated. He said, I could even see the radiator inside the house. Now, powerful stuff, isn't it, that?
Yeah. I think sometimes you have to, you perhaps know that you could be more efficient, but really seeing it like that's very powerful for people. Oh. It's great that the residents are taking it into the homes. Shows you're really getting people on board. Yeah. So obviously you've done this feasibility study, you've got some bits and pieces done, you've got some bits and pieces of funding on. What is it you're kind of working towards at the moment then? What's the next steps for the project?
Okay, so this is the big bit. This is actually doing stuff, not just talking about doing stuff. And what we're actually doing now is we've broken the project overall back down into the different community buildings, and each of the owners of the buildings, operator of the buildings, are looking to implement the feasibility study. So, for instance, the cricket club, which supplies all the utilities into the football club, which is independent next door, they desperately need to replace their existing cesspit. This is where it gets sexy, change the cesspit. They need more capacity because it's been growing. That's on the list. Then they want to do solar panels with a battery to make themselves sustainable. And then the next one would be the heat stuff, you know, putting in an air source heat pump. So with a little bit of energy efficiency. So we're putting projects together to do that. Incidentally, the cesspit doesn't sound very sustainable, but it's costing them, £4,000 a year to cart their wastewater away.
Wow.
Whereas, you know, if they could either have a biodigester or link to the drains, which are a long, long way away, it will be a fraction of that. And it'll be much more energy efficient, which is a thing. We will generate much, much less carbon. So that's the cricket club. The community centre, which is well advanced, we just need a air source heat pump there and a bit more energy efficiency work. And then the church has actually exploded into a much bigger project. And we've actually parked the church for the moment, but we're working on the church hall, which is truly like any other village hall. It's used from 8 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock at night on community activities. That needs a refurbishment program.
Okay.
It's been driven by the surveys that we've done on the sustainability project. So it needs complete insulation. The roof needs sorting out. The lighting needs sorting out. The floor needs sorting out. They need a new air source heat pump. They need a new wet heating system. We're probably looking at about £50,000 or £60,000 there. But it will be a fantastic exemplar of taking a 1970s building and bringing it up to date and what's required to do it.
And to do it in as environmentally friendly, sustainable way as possible. And being that being your driver, I think, is it's the way we have to go more and more with retrofits and things like that.
Yeah. And when I talk to the funder, because we've been working on a strategy to put funders to support each of those things.
Yeah.
When I talked to the funder, the lady said, and I explained that we wanted to influence people. We wanted to share this information, which is a big part of it. She says, listen, she said, what I'm interested in is the heart stuff. What you're going to do with the money? What we're going to help you do? said, the actual other stuff, the community environmental stuff and the engagement stuff, she said, that's the fluffy stuff, but we love it.
Yeah.
We love it because that's the added bonus, the icing on the cake for you to get the grant to do it. Yes, you're going to do the community, your carbon neutrality stuff, but you're going to try and influence other people and share your learning.
Yeah.
And then finally, the school, well, that's a standalone thing because there's a government building, which we all should pay for through our taxes. They're looking to gain finance to do their work through Salix, which is a government loan scheme, been going for years, and you know that's where they're going for it. And they're bidding for money now. But it's a very, very competitive market. You know, imagine all the government buildings, schools in the country, libraries, et cetera, hospitals that need to be brought up to date.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing. And we hope to be bidding this autumn applying for grants to win funds to do it.
It sounds... When you break it down, like I know from talking to you in the past, Ray, that this is in many ways a really, really, really huge project. But you have broken it down into very, I'm going to say manageable, but you know exactly what you need to do for each building.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there'll be some economies of scale there. You know, you talked about ground source heat pumps for more than one building. Yeah. They're doing those in two at the same time and really working together collaboratively. And that will definitely help with that. I think one sort of last thing that I want to pick up on this with you, I think the idea of what can we do to tackle climate change, how can we become carbon neutral? It's really hard, I think, for some people to get their head round. It's almost so big, it's quite difficult even to think about. And sometimes perhaps we get a little distracted with some of the smaller things that we can all do at an individual level, which do make a difference. But I think there's so much value in communities coming together and approaching it in this way and tackling those slightly meatier projects that do really, really need to be done.
Yeah.
What would you say to anyone who's in a similar position to yourself in their communities, who's perhaps listening along to this and thinking, oh, I'd love to do that here, but...
Yeah, but. The first thing is that it wasn't a fluke that we were able to start the project. We'd been talking to each other about what we wanted, and there was a good omens community to get going. So talk to your colleagues. If you're on a village or committee, talk to your colleagues. Find out what their appetite for is. Is it something you need to? Because lots of the organisations have got their own problems in funding or something else. But you've got to have somebody who's willing to have enough time to do it. But talk to them. And remember that you're not on your own. You know, we found Kate Dunwin from nowhere. I never heard of Kate, and Kate's been a star. I knew Chris, I knew he was a star, but he's still a great help. But at the end of the day, it's the people in the different organisations that have done it. So you talk to your colleagues in the pre-project stage, find out if they're interested, find out if they've got the appetite. There will be other people in your community who want it. We were surprised when we did our community survey. We had a 96% acceptance of the proposition to make our community. Yeah, 96%. We had over 100 offers of help.
That's great.
Yeah. And this is a pandemic. We couldn't go out and talk to people, but that's what came back. So you're not on your own. Get help, get the first seeds of it. Don't panic about it, as you said earlier. If you've got a village oil, you can eat it. I'll eat an elephant. It's in little pieces, isn't it? In bite-sized pieces. And, you know, if you think about funding, because nobody's got any money, there's a Warts for All offer up to £10,000.
Yeah, that's right.
£25,000. And you can apply once a year, as long as you've got the right sort of community support behind it. It's a justifiable project. So you can actually phase it out. You can do it over 4 or 5 years. Just pick the things which are important. And I would say, have a look at the energy hierarchy. Now, that's the first technical term I've used today. And I'd never heard of it when I started. But if you want to look at it and see what it is, it's on our booklet, which I think is going to be on our website. And it basically says, start at the top. And the top bit is energy efficiency. Yeah, make sure you turn the lights off. Make sure you've got the heat in the right setting, etc. Energy efficiency, do that and work your way through it until you get to renewable energy, which is right down at the bottom. Don't panic about it. You know, the government's going to give us help through COP. We don't know what it is. They've been dithering, but understandably so, because they don't know what the right solution is. But help will come, and I know that for heating, because I found that there was a real discrepancy. Community buildings, which are often run like by charities, don't get funding, don't get help like the public sector or the domestic sector. We could get some help under the RHI, but it was long-winded. It was 20 years payback. Now, I've got it on good authority because I actually lobbied our MP and got it back from the Department of Business that community buildings around our sort of size, and our sort of size would be about 2,000 square feet, maybe a bit more than that, I think. Yeah, so normal community building size, village hall sizes, they will qualify for grants when it's announced. They will. Yeah, so, you know, that's going to help. So don't panic, you know.
Talk to people.
Talk to people.
Get your community on board.
Find the one expert, find the people in your community who can help or want to help, because they do help. It's, you know, like we wanted to do, we all wanted to do something, but you need to just get that catalyst to get it going.
Ray, thank you so much. I think there was so much useful information there, and I think it really inspires others to take action. There is a lot of information, including those feasibility studies on the Monk, Fryson & Hillam website. It's mfhcc.com if you Google it. If you would like to find out more about how you as a community can do more to tackle climate change, please do visit our website as well, www.communityfirstyorkshire.org.uk. And thank you so much, Ray, for joining today. It's been really interesting chatting to you and hearing more about the project.
If anybody wants to contact me, you can find me on the website.
Thank you, Ray. That's lovely. Take care. Bye.